podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Here's the snapback. Beck looks, throws it down the field, and it is intercepted by Indiana. Wow, what a play.
The NFL.
Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown. Chicago has caught a touchdown pass. Cole Kmet, if you hadn't seen it, you would not believe it.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On 104.3, The Score, and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the Tailgate 670, The Score. It is great to be on FM radio. This is fantastic all week on The Score. It is the day before the Super Bowl. This is your kickoff of the weekend of football. Been out in San Francisco all week for Super Bowl week. We are 33 hours until kickoff. Adam Studzinski here with me. We got a big show ahead. Patriots versus Seahawks, not the matchup you thought would happen back in August, but it's a matchup we got. Coming up today, big, big show, Studs, previewing the Super Bowl. Over the past few days, I've been over at the Media Center, Radio Row as they call it, and talked to a number of people. I want to talk to some national people about the state of the Bears, not just the Super Bowl, but the state of the Bears. And we talked to a few different people. We talked to NBC's Mike Tirico, Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback insider Albert Breer. Wanted to get their take, and we'll bring that to you in about 15 minutes. Also ran into former Chicago Bear offensive lineman Kyle Long. Great guy. By the way, Studs, he looks like a football player. He's like 6'6", 300 now. He even says, he goes, I'm down like 20 pounds. He'd be like one of those guys on the street you would never, ever, ever fight. We'll talk more about him. And 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Bears wide receiver Rome Odunze. Odunze ran into him at the Media Center, talked to him for a few minutes. All that coming up in 20 minutes from now. The one thing, as the Super Bowl is only 32 hours away, it's also, you have the excitement of the Super Bowl. It's also that feeling football season's almost over. And as a person who does a football show here on The Score and works at the Dan Patrick Show, football season is just fantastic. College, pro, I'll watch a Division III game. You guys know that. But this has been a really kind of a quiet week in San Francisco around the two teams, the Seahawks and the Patriots. These aren't smack talk teams. It's not like the old days with the Legion of Boom and Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and those type of guys, or the Patriots with Bill Belichick, who said nothing and their camp just was on lockdown. If you go back to media night, we were over there and the players come in their sweatsuits and they talk to the media, and it's like their goal is to get through it and say absolutely nothing. Sam Darnold, they kept trying to bait him. Talk to me about your history with the Jets and this, da, da, da. He's like, you know, I'm very excited to be here. We've all had long histories. Sam Darnold's going to give you nothing. So there was no smack talk between the teams. And one other thing that I really noticed this week, and I talked to a number of people about this, people would have loved to have the Bears there. And this is not pandering to Bears fans, but the Bears have juice. That's the exact thing that was said to me by an NFL guy. He goes, it'd be cool if the Bears were here. They have juice. The ratings in their games this year were huge. You remember NBC flexed to Bears games and the Bears Packers. A couple times this year they flexed to the Bears. They do that because the Bears draw a national audience. And can you imagine Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, even Kevin Byard's a great interview. Imagine them there for Super Bowl week. It was close, a couple games away, but it would have been really cool if the Bears were there. All right, 6-7 The Score. I'm Paul Papps. A lot to get to today. The one couple things from Super Bowl week, we're going to kind of unpack it a little bit before we get to the breakdown of the game and talk to Kyle Long and Rome Odunze in 20 minutes. The NFL awards. Matthew Stafford wins MVP. Not a big surprise. He just got by Drake May, the quarterback of the Patriots. The defensive player of the year was Myles Garrett of the Browns. Unanimous vote. He just demolished everybody this year. Myles Garrett's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer and play in very few playoff games. He's going to probably finish his career, or at least the meat of his career with the Browns. And unless something changes soon, he's not going to be in the postseason very often. Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver from Seattle, offensive player of the year. Ran into him, met him quickly on media night. He is 6'190". I'm 6'190". Now, Studs, there's a big difference between my 6'190 and his. He's like jacked, and I'm kind of like, you know, old, you know, out of shape, not too good, but really nice guy. Good to meet him. What he's one of those guys, though, if you compare him to like Myles Garrett or even Kyle Long, you're like, that guy plays football, but it was cool to see him. And a couple more things. Hall of Fame. First ballot Hall of Famers, Larry Fitzgerald, not a surprise, the great wide receiver. Drew Brees, the quarterback, first ballot wide, Hall of Fame. Couple things that stuck out during Super Bowl week, because there was not smack talk. The great quarterback Tom Brady, who won just a truckload of Super Bowls with the Patriots, and then, of course, he did that with Tampa Bay. He got one, and now he runs the Raiders, and he works for Fox Sports. He's got a lot of things cooking. He was on his podcast with Jim Gray, and he said, when he's asked who is he rooting for to win in the Super Bowl, and the obvious answer would have been the New England Patriots, the team that he's associated with him forever, even though it didn't end that great. He said, well, I really have no dog in the fight. And they went off to say, I like both teams. No dog in the fight. You're a Patriot. You were a Patriot. It's an easy thing to say, Thomas. Of course I'm rooting for the Patriots. I will always root for the Patriots unless I'm playing against them or, you know, managing against them with the Raiders. And for some reason, he said, I have no dog in the fight. Man, all the former Patriots that were there at the media center, like, did he really say that? Kind of a weird one for Tom Brady to go to, but that's his preference. Couple other things. The NFL Pro Bowl. If you remember the Pro Bowl when you guys were young, when we were young, it was kind of a good game. You know, Walter Payton would be there every year, and maybe Dan Hampton and Richard Dent. And then the next era, you know, like Neil Anderson would be there or something like that. And it was kind of a good game. It wasn't, you know, knockdown, drag out, but it was a good game until about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, the players started, you know, I wouldn't call it load management like the NBA, but they realized, hey, we're not getting paid for this, or at least not very much, and I'm not going to risk my future, my contracts in this game. And then about 5 years ago, about halftime, we talked to Max Crosby on the Dan Patrick Show, and they said they had kind of a chat, and they said, we're just going to kind of go through the motions. And in the second half, it became like a touch football game, and they just got rid of the old helmets and pads Pro Bowl, and they had the Pro Bowl flag football game the other night in San Francisco. Now, I went to it. I checked it out. It was surprisingly competitive. Joe Burrow's like rooting up the team, getting them all fired up. Dak Prescott's getting the team all fired up. And it was a really competitive shootout game. But it was flag football. You can go down to Lincoln Park on a Saturday and see that. And the ratings were terrible. And ratings decide everything. That money cost a lot. That game cost a lot of money to put together, to produce, a lot of talent, like a halftime show. So the future of the flag football game as the Pro Bowl is interesting. The issue there is, if you make the Pro Bowl now, you still are, on your resume, a Pro Bowler. And I think a lot of people, including myself, said there's got to be a new designation. Like Shedeur Sanders and Joe Flacco were like Pro Bowl alternates this year. They needed to fill bodies. They needed quarterbacks for both teams. And Joe Flacco and Shedeur Sanders were nowhere near the Pro Bowl, at least the Pro Bowl honor, as we call it. But they played in the game. So now on Joe Flacco's designation, on his footballreference.com, where you can learn all about every player, it says he was a Pro Bowler 2025, and that goes on his record. Back in the day, you know, again, bringing up someone like Walter Payton, he had 9 Pro Bowls. Well, now Shedeur Sanders has one, or Joe Flacco, or other alternates. It's kind of a weird thing. All right, 670 The Score. Also, FM The Score. Talking to you right now. I'm Paul Papp. This is The Tailgate. Let's get to the Super Bowl storylines. Now, the Patriots, massive turnaround. 4 wins last year. They get rid of the coach. They bring in Mike Vrabel, who the Tennessee Titans, for some reason, a couple years ago, fired, which is absolutely nuts. Drake May, very good player at North Carolina a few years ago. People liked him. Some people loved him, but it was kind of mixed feelings. And he goes in the draft to the Patriots. And we know Caleb Williams went to the Bears and Daniels went to the Commanders. And he has a very good rookie year. And then he has a lights out second year. To be fair, or not to criticize, but the Patriots had one of the easier schedules in the league. But they kind of earn that schedule by having a 4-win team. You get an easy schedule when you're bad. The NFL wants parity. They want people to get better. Like the Bears are in the opposite situation right now. Next year, the Bears will have one of the toughest schedules in the league. But the Patriots turn it around. They don't have a lot of star talent. They got some good players in the offseason on the defensive line and a couple linebackers, and they made it work. And they've got a really nice defense with not a lot of household names. On the other hand, the Seahawks. The Seahawks had 10 wins last year. They were a good team. But I think they realized we've gone as far as we could go with Geno Smith, the quarterback. And they went out and got Sam Darnold. Now, it's the Sam Darnold story we could do an hour on. Sam Darnold out of USC, third pick of the draft, was considered the safe pick. He was a clutch guy, really chill guy, good player. He goes to the Jets, where quarterbacks go to die, no offense. And, you know, as a Bears fan who've you've seen how the Bears have done with quarterbacks over the past 40, 50, 60, 70 years. At least in the past 20 years, you could point to the Jets and say, we don't do it like they do it. They take quarterbacks down in the wrong way. So Sam Darnold doesn't work out for the Jets and just doesn't happen. And his career kind of bounces around a little bit. He goes to the Vikings, plays fantastic last year, but he didn't play fantastic in the last regular season game. And he didn't play fantastic in the playoff game. And it put the Vikings in a weird position as, what do we do with this guy? We either have to give him like a three-year, $110 million contract, or we have to move on. And they moved on and went to J.J. McCarthy, the rookie who was hurt last year. And J.J. McCarthy had flashes this year, but not enough consistency, and he gets banged up pretty easy. So that's a guy where he could have been a Viking this year, and now the Vikings are kind of in a mess, and the Seahawks are in great shape. And he's a day away. Sam Darnold is less than 48 hours away from rebranding his whole career. That bust label is already gone. But if he's Super Bowl MVP, he enters a whole new category. And the dude's like 28 years old. He's got two more years left on his contract. He's going to get a big, big contract after this at some point. But if he could pull this off, win Super Bowl MVP, he's on full scholarship for the rest of his life. Paul Papst here, 670 The Tailgate, also on FM radio, The Tailgate. A couple things that were going on. We're out in San Francisco, and it's a very international city, as you know, and the NFL takes advantage of that. The NFL spent a lot of time this week talking about the international games and the push for international football. And you may like it, you may not like it, getting up at 8:30 Chicago time to watch a game in Wembley Stadium in London or in Germany, but they're going to keep going. They're going to probably get an 18-game schedule at some point and push it. They want more international games, South America, Mexico, Brazil, that's in South America, Paul, the UK, of course, where it kind of all started. You know, we go back to the 85 Bears. When the 85 Bears won that Super Bowl, they put them over at the next year and played, I think, a preseason game in England. So it was on the BBC. It was live. We're going to talk about that more in a second. But the 85 Bears were the first team to kind of crash the UK, London, Wales, Ireland, and Northern Ireland. And it's been interesting that I have friends who live over there and say, yeah, I learned about football with the Fridge and William Perry and Richard Dent and Jim McMahon, the punky quarterback. And it was on for a few years out there, and then it kind of went away. So really cool guest we have right now. Joining us now on the tailgate, he is calling the Super Bowl for Talk Sport in the UK. That's England, Wales, Ireland, and Northern Ireland. They call him the Big Ginger. He is Will Gavin of Talk Sport. For those who don't know what Talk Sport is, how can you compare it to like US sports radio?
So Talk Sport in the UK is the UK's biggest sports radio station. So consider us the ESPN of the UK, sure, essentially. But instead of it being, as you well know, with the ESPN, it's all their radio stations are the localized, you know,
this is one for the countries.
One national station for the country. Well, two national stations. TalkSport 2, where often the NFL does land during the regular season as well. You know, we've got over 10 million social media followers. We have over 4 million weekly listeners. Like, it's a big media entity in the UK.
And I've listened to you guys before because I follow football, soccer, and all that kind of stuff, and I've been on your station. And it is really interesting that I think people were going to get into it. Don't expect American football to be popular, but it's grown for a while. But you are calling the Super Bowl. What time will your broadcast start in the UK?
11 p.m. So about a half hour before kickoff. We're actually going to go for 10:55, I think, so that we can make sure that when Green Day hit the opening chords of what is definitely going to be American Idiot, don't know if that's a prop that we can get on, we are not like hitting the start of our broadcast at that moment. So we're just being a little bit careful with it. But it's just before 11 p.m. and it'll go to nearly 4 in the morning.
And your show is going to cause a lot of people to be late for work in the UK on Monday.
We were on with Ross this week, and I didn't exclusively reveal. I just told him, and this is a long time study. The second Monday in February is the most common sick day in the UK. Now, partially you've got to consider flu season, the right, winter, post-Christmas blues, all of that stuff as well. But the fact is the Super Bowl is a big part of the why. And Channel 4, who used to do the terrestrial TV coverage, like the free-to-air coverage, sure, in the UK, they ran a whole campaign on how to pull a sickie after the Super Bowl, like a whole advertising campaign a few years ago. So
I think that's a great sign of football's reach in the UK. Mm-hmm. And okay, now you're talking to a Chicago audience right now, 6-7 this score, The Tailgate. I'm Paul Papst with Will Gavin. I've always heard and read that the 85 Bears went over to England, and they were on, I think, BBC in 86. And a lot of people who kind of found football, the earlier generation, found that 85 Bears team in the Fridge. And football kind of took a little hold in the late 80s and 90s. And then it went away for a while, and then it's making a comeback in the past 20 years.
You couldn't be more accurate. There is this weird amalgamation of fan bases in the UK where you've got these guys who are all in their kind of 50s and 60s, who followed it in the 80s. And, like, I truly tell you, but even the people who are, like, the casual fans but grew up in that era,
yeah,
they wouldn't know who Sam Darnold was, but they will know who William the Refrigerator Perry is. Like, yes. That is the kind of... It was such an interesting time. So there is, like, big fan base in the UK for the Bears, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Niners. Like, all those great 80s teams have a real following in the UK. And then it did. It went away for a long time. You could only really get radio coverage through Armed Forces Radio. Oh. You didn't get regular TV coverage. You didn't get live games. And then in kind of the early 2000s, they started giving us live games every week. And then in 2007, the Giants and the Dolphins come over and play. Eli Manning on a naked boot.
That's right.
Beats Jason Taylor into the end zone, which I have interviewed Jason about three times and remind him about every single time that Eli Manning, one of only three rushing touchdowns in his career, came against Jason Taylor. Like that, it just kickstarted what has turned into a revolution. And it's huge now.
It's become a regular thing for a couple games in England, Wembley or wherever it may be. And, you know, Croke Park got, you know, down in Ireland. And I went to a bar, you'll appreciate it, it's a pub. I was going to see a Fulham game about 20 years ago. My first Premier League in-person match was Fulham.
Craven Cottage is one of the best.
Because I'm a Chicago guy, so I like Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. I thought Craven
Real
Cottage.
Wrigley Field vibes. That's a great shout.
Easy comparison. I walk into the Eight Bells pub in Fulham, and I had a Bears t-shirt on my zippy, and the bartender goes, Walter Payton. And clearly, I'm not Walter Payton. And then he goes, I go, yeah. I go, anyone else? He goes, the fridge? And he said, the fridge. And it exactly proves your point.
That's so funny.
So with your broadcast coming up this weekend, when you talk to the British sports fan, do you think it'd be any different than listening to besides your tone, which is fun?
Thank you.
Do you think the way you call a game is any different than an American analyst calls a game or American play-by-play man calls a game?
So my belief is that we shouldn't be in any way dumbing it down for the audience.
Right.
Like, I found this, so when I first started covering the NFL back in 2012, when I started doing it professionally, I did a podcast for about 5 or 6 years, and then we got the rights to do the games on UK radio on TalkSport. And I've only been play-by-play for the last 3 seasons, but we've been doing games since 2015, 2016, okay, something like that. The Vikings, the Minnesota, the Eagles, Patriots Super Bowl, I think 52, 53, that was our first one.
Okay.
And so I have been broadcasting NFL to UK fans. We take the Westwood One feed, and then I'm in studio, and I link in between, and I do, we retweet, so I do analysis, I talk about the plays that have happened, whatever it might be. And I've found that I tried early doors to explain things.
Yeah.
People don't care. Everyone's got this little computer in their pocket. If they don't understand cover two, they can Google
cover two.
They'll
figure it out.
What people want is someone speaking passionately, knowledgeably, like, they react to that much more than they do to having something taught to them and spoon-fed to them.
Yeah, and Will, I've noticed that your social media, especially lately, has gotten a lot of publicity in America. You were here, you're here in San Francisco, we're here in San Francisco, you ran into Chris McCaffrey, the star running back, and when you get recognized by an NFL player, does that make you think, this stuff is catching on?
It's wild. And actually, Adam Durdy last night, the defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, we interviewed him. He did basically, during opening night, while everyone else was running off trying to get players, there was a line of UK media,
yeah,
us, the BBC, Sky Sports, Channel 5, who are the free-to-air broadcaster now. And Adam Durdy just went and did each of us one by one while we all waited patiently in a queue like the Brits love to do. he said to me, like, as he sat down, and I've met him a few times, I've interviewed him a few times, and he sat down and he said, I saw your call of the Rashid Shaheed return. Good stuff, man. I was like, that's wild, Adam. Like, the fact that you've seen that. And he's like, people see this stuff. Like, he was, yes, really like players see something cool like that and they share it with each other. And they like, and so that's, it's still wild to me.
That's awesome.
It is very cool.
Will Gavin of TalkSport joining the Tailgate 6-7 The Score in Chicago. I'm Paul Papps. Before we let you go, there's always been lots of talk about a team in London, an NFL team, or a Super Bowl in London. And I think those kind of went away about 15 years ago, that initiative. And they decided, let's just start piling more international games. And I think the end game someday is I don't see a London team. I can't picture it with logistics-wise, but a London Super Bowl. How do you think that news would be received in the UK?
Oh, if it was a London Super Bowl, it would be off the chain. And actually, I've tried to tell people, like, I think that American fans wouldn't react as negatively to it as people think. Because unless the Super Bowl's in your city, which if you're LA or Miami or something, that's on a 5-year rotation. Otherwise, it's very rarely there. How is it any different if you're getting the product on TV that you expect in the same quality, but it just happens to be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
The only thing I would differ with, and I think you're right, that it'll be a little bit of an outrage and it'll calm down quick, but imagine if the Premier League had a final weekend, and the final weekend was Chelsea, Man City, and they said that's going to be in New York City.
Yeah.
And that would not go over well in the UK.
I agree. And I've always said, like, they should never do Premier League games abroad, but they should do, like, the Community Shield abroad,
yes,
or something like that. Like, that works for me. That makes sense. It's a game with meaning. It's a game with big teams, but it's also not going to, you know, pee off the fans back at home if they do it. I think you're right. There'll be, like, initial broil, and then it'll calm down, and Super Bowl week people won't even notice. I think it would be amazing. I think it would be incredible. I think the logistics of it is very difficult, even with just a Super Bowl, because of the timing.
Yep.
You'd essentially have to get whichever the broadcaster was that year to agree to having a slightly earlier kickoff time.
I have a solution for that. You put it on a Saturday for this one time, and it's earlier in the day, so everyone in the world has Sunday off. And now people will say, I got to get up early, I got to stay up late, whatever it may be. I know I have Sunday off this one time. It's a one.
Well, it's why the NFL are desperately trying to change the schedule so that it falls on President's Day weekend.
That's right.
Like, they're going to add an extra bye, and then they're going to stop having a bye between the Super Bowl. And it's all ridiculous. Like, Roger Goodell has this, like, master plan in his mind that he's trying to slowly eke out. What I would say to you is, I think you're right about the. I don't think there will ever be a team. I really.
No.
10 years ago, I would have told you, I think that's what they're pushing towards.
It felt like the Jaguars were inching towards it.
And what I think happens is 2030, new CBA, we go to 18 games with two bye weeks, and every team plays a neutral site game every year.
I think
16 road games where they're international. You could even play some, you know. Obviously, Canada, Mexico, very close. You could even play some in some college towns and do, like...
I think you're 100% right.
That's the direction it goes in. I don't think an expansion team is really a possibility.
Will Gavin, Talk Sport. If you want an alternative listen to the Super Bowl on the Super Bowl Sunday, it's you. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
That was Will Gavin of Talk Sport. Really big character. Check him out on social media. He's a lot of fun. All right, coming up, 104.3 The Score. I am Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate. We're going to talk more about the Super Bowl, but next, we're going to talk to a few different people that I ran into this week about the Bears season and the offseason. A medley of people I caught up this week. Mike Tirico of NBC, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, former Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long, and current Bears wide receiver Rome Odunze. All that is next. This is The Score, 104.3. We'll be right back.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Papst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
On 104.3, The Score, and live on the Odyssey app.
Back on The Score, I am Paul Papst out here in San Francisco all week. Early wake-up call. Sun not up yet. Who cares? It's football. Let's shake it off, Paul. Act like you've been there before. Spending out the week out here in San Francisco working on the Dan Patrick Show and talking to people for The Score. A lot of people talking Bears with me. People come up and ask me about them. What a great season and how exciting the season was. And I said before, there's some people that are disappointed that the Bears aren't out here from a rating standpoint. As if, I know the Super Bowl has great ratings, but the Super Bowl with the Bears would, I think, have had a little more juice. And we talked to a bunch of different people this week at the media center over on Radio Row. And the first up is the great play-by-play man, Mike Tirico of NBC Sports. He was at Soldier Field this year for the playoff game versus the Rams. Here's his call, the 4th and 4 from Caleb Williams to commit.
So here we go, 4th and 4.
It's a blitz.
Joseph!
Command in motion. Williams drifting, sprinting for space, in all kinds of trouble, put it up for next to the end zone. Extra point for the veteran Caro Santos to tie the game at 17. Got it. Tie game. I don't believe this team. Bear down, Chicago Bears.
I could listen to that cut all day. I may make that my ringtone. So Mike Tirico, who is calling the Super Bowl tomorrow night for NBC Sports, I asked him about that call specifically and the atmosphere at Soldier Field this year. Mike Tirico joining me.
Yes.
Mike, you
yes.
called the Bears this year.
I
very
did.
Big Bears game this year.
Very huge.
Was that one of your favorite calls of the year? Or of your career, maybe?
Both. Year and career. I'm a sucker for Soldier Field. I love Chicago. My daughter lives there. Living in the Midwest, I know what Soldier Field's all about. That was only the 17th playoff game in the history of Soldier Field. You thought there would be more, but because they played at Wrigley for a while, not as many. But that place, on a cold night, in a playoff game, there was nothing like it. And there was no way Caleb Williams was going to do that again. Even I didn't believe he would, and he did. And that was a moment I'll never forget.
Thank you, Mike. That's Mike Tirico talking about his experience at Soldier Field this year. All right, next up, NFL insider for Sports Illustrated, Money Money quarterback. His name's Albert Breer. He's a great read. He really knows the sport, and he covers all the teams. So I asked Albert what he and the national media think about the Bears' future going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think there'll be some teams, some people that'll pick them to win the Super Bowl,
right?
Next year, because they're still in that window where they've got Caleb on a rookie contract. If you think that Caleb's going to be able to build on the way he finished last year, now you're talking about the dynamic changing a little bit. They've got some flexibility again because he is on the rookie contract to be aggressive, and they've gotten better on the lines of scrimmage. And so, I think you look at their team and, again, good on the lines of scrimmage, the rising young talent they have. I think they will be one of those teams that you see
sexy
pop up.
Picks.
Yeah, like in August, there'll be some people picking them to get to LA.
Do you think the Vikings will explore options at quarterback with J.J. McCarthy? That's a fast yes.
Yes. I think that they're going to at least put competition in the room.
Right.
I don't think J.J.'s on scholarship there anymore.
Kirk Cousins?
I think Kirk Cousins, Mac Jones would be the one that I think would make a ton of sense. He's affordable. I believe he's only due $4 or $5 million. I have to look it up, but I think he's only due $4 or $5 million next year. And the Niners, if you're willing to flip a second or third round pick for him, I think Mac would fit into Kevin's offense. They could look at Kyler. They could look at Tua if they're willing to make a little bit more of a financial investment. And they'd have to work the numbers out. The one advantage that they have is, I think, most quarterbacks, especially the reclamation projects, are going to look at that place and say, well, I get to work with Kevin O'Connell, and I get to throw to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, assuming he's still there, and got an improved offensive line. It seems to me, at least, like that would be still, even after this year, a really great situation for a quarterback to go into.
Final 30 seconds. You've been to Bears games right there at Soldier Field.
Yep.
Are you a city open-air guy for the Bears?
Yeah.
And how concerned should the Bears be about Indiana moving to the suburbs or staying in the city?
I am a city open-air guy.
Because you're a New England guy.
I'm a New England guy. I mean, I grew up going to NFL games in Foxborough, which is in the middle of nowhere. And I went to baseball and basketball and hockey games in the city. And I just think it's so much better of an experience. I remember riding the train into the city with my dad to go to Red Sox games or Celtics games. And then versus being stuck on a two-lane highway to get to a football stadium. I take the city every time. And I think football is an outdoor sport. This is my feeling on it. I've heard people compare basketball or hockey. Well, when you're growing up playing those sports, you're playing them indoors.
Right.
You know what I mean? No one grows up playing football indoors. The elements are part of the game. And I think it's going to be sad in 10 or 15 years when 75% of the league has a roof over its head.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Albert.
You got it.
That was Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer, sharp guy. And Mike Tirico said the same thing. I talked to Mike about he loves Chicago. He lives in the Midwest. And he said, I can't picture it. He doesn't follow the Bears stadium issue every day, but I can't picture the Bears not being right on the water in Soldier Field. And he's like, it's just the best venue. It's almost obvious when I talk to the national people. Next up, ran into Bears offensive lineman, former offensive lineman, the great Kyle Long, very popular in Chicago. And I talked to Kyle Long a little bit about the Bears offseason last year. And, the 2025 season and how it happened. We talked before about remaking the offensive line and Tooney and Jackson and Dahlman. So I asked him, how vital was that remake of the offensive line last season to this season?
Well, it was obviously the key component in them having a real identity on offense. And when people saw the Drew Dahlman signing, they said, well, that's not Frank Ragnow from the Lions.
Yeah.
So is he going to be able – and Drew Dahlman's in the Pro Bowl this week.
Right.
And
Kyle Tooney's all pro.
And Joe Tooney's been unbelievable since the day he stepped on a football field. Look, he's not a mauler. He's not a guy like Larry Allen. But what he is somebody that's going to not only make sure his job is done above and beyond, but the guys next to him can sleep easier knowing the similar type of thing, especially with that revolving door at the left tackle position. Having a guy like Joe Tooney there is amazing. And I think Jonah Jackson was really the straw that stirred the drink for this offensive line because of his physicality, his relationship with Ben Johnson prior to being in Chicago. Ben understood what buttons he could press with Jonah Jackson.
Yeah, and if you look at Robbie redoing the line, it allows you to get a seventh-round running back like Kyle Manungai, and he's running behind a good line. Like Ashton Jeanty, no offense, but he's running behind a subpar offensive line with the Raiders. Manungai comes in, and he's got holes to play with and allows him to use his power.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And not only that, he's got a guy who's scheming things up that gives his offensive lineman tremendous leverage to be able to get to those second-level blocks, mm-hmm. explosive plays. I think Chicago led the league in them this year. It's no secret or surprise to me because you invest in that interior offensive line, good things happen.
And as an offensive lineman, I've been told that you'd prefer to block for a quarterback that drops off, drops back, and is a timing quarterback. The great thing about Caleb Williams is he keeps plays alive. It does make the offensive line job a little tougher, though.
There's two answers here. Number one, yes, a statue quarterback, you know where he's going to be.
Right.
And hopefully if he ain't fast, he's smart and the ball's out quick or he'll be dead.
Right.
But the other side of things is if you get a guy like Caleb Williams, if you get a guy like Patrick Mahomes or a guy like early Russell Wilson, you're going to be part of some of the coolest highlight plays ever. And if you can just find a way to get your fat ass down the field and block somebody, buddy, that's priceless and it's forever.
It's funny you mentioned that because if you watch their replay to the DJ Moore catch against the Packers, I think it was Wright was running downfield, his arms in the air, and he's right in the shot.
You want to get in the picture, man. Get in the picture. And we love Darnell Wright because he's a mountain of a man that is always trying to get in the picture.
Now, you've been at Soldier Field many times. I don't know if you went to any games this year, but this place was rocking this year. It felt like almost a college atmosphere, especially later in the season against the Packers.
It just felt like there was a dormant energy that was awakened, like some kind of, you know,
frustration years.
Yeah, and I felt it as a former player and a fan of the Bears. And I actually went and watched them. They lost to the Rams the NFC Championship. I was out, or in the divisional game, and I was out there for that. It was, I had never seen anything like that at Soldier Field. It was unbelievable.
Now, you're spot 6'6", at your playing weight, maybe 318, 320?
Yeah. 325.
How often back in Chicago would you be out at like a restaurant or a bar?
You're a beast, bro. You're a beast, bro. Dog.
How often would you be out at a bar or a restaurant and some civilian, some Bears fan say, I'd like to pass rush against you?
In Chicago?
How often did that happen?
I have won a few one-on-one reps in my day in street clothes. But for the most part, people just want to drink a beer with me. And Paul, I mean, that's what it's all about. That's, you know, I got so many friends because of the Chicago Bears, and I'm so grateful for that.
Great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Paul.
That was former Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long. What a great guy. When he said, you're a beast, Burrow, he was talking to Ashton Jeanty, the running back for the Raiders, who was just walking by. The media center is like that, but it's great to have Kyle Long. Now, lastly, at the media center, ran into Bears wide receiver Roma Dunze. Great guy. Talk about that in a second. But so at the media center, at the Radio Row, what happens is all these athletes and former coaches are being walked around, and they've got a product to pump. And they, you know, it might be Snickers, it might be Old Spice, it might be whatever it may be. And you have to ask a question or two about that, and then you could talk football for a while. So I ran into Roma Dunze, and we're chatting for a bit, and I said, let's tape something for the weekend. And so he was doing interviews on behalf of Sharpie, you know, the little markers you sign autographs with. And so, of course, I'm going to ask him some football questions, but you got to get a question about the product, and then we could talk some Bears. Here's a few minutes. I think you're going to like the last question with the Bears wide receiver, Roma Dunze. How old were you the first time you signed an autograph?
How old was I?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I have no clue. Probably really young, maybe like eight or nine. One of my aunties or somebody in my family was probably like, man, let me get some Sharpie because I know you about to be famous or whatever. Now, so
you're doing something in the Super Bowl for Sharpie. Do you go Rome? Do you go Roma Dunze? If it's speed, what happens?
I go Rome. I go Rome O. I go Rome O, yeah, for the most part, yep.
All right. This year at Soldier Field, a lot of fun. Later in the season, if you notice, the crowd got into it really big time in that Green Bay game after that. Did it almost feel like a college atmosphere the back half of the season?
It was getting there. It was getting there. Those college atmospheres are pretty dope. I had some experiences, great experiences up at UW with it. But, yeah, it definitely those end playoff games were getting up there. What's up, bud? How you doing, man?
Good to see you, man.
They were getting up there for sure. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next season's fan atmosphere because I know they know we're working towards something.
Is this your first time at Super Bowl week?
No, it's not. This will be my third, I believe, or second. I don't know if I was here when I was getting drafted. I think I was, yeah, so third.
Have you met a former football player or current football player where you're like, oh, I would love to get a picture?
Oh, man. Obviously, it's pretty dope to see all those guys around. I know everybody's kind of running around, so I'm not, like, trying to get pictures with anybody. I'm running around, too. But I see the former Bears. I've seen Brian Urlacher. I've seen Peanut Tillman. I got to see, I've met Devin Hester before, so those are a lot of my guys that I like to take pictures with.
All right. Plans for the offseason, plans for 2026 of the Bears. What are your thoughts?
Man, the off season is recovery and then getting back into it and then looking to go take over, really. You know, we introduced ourselves a little bit as a team, and I think we're looking to go take over, be hopefully not having to do any of this next year. We'll be in the bowl. So, and for myself individually, really just, being the player I know I can be.
Yeah, you'd rather be at a hotel 20 miles away getting meetings.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, meetings and all that is probably what it would be, too, so... That'd be tough. But at least we'd be playing, so.
Now, you can't carry a Sharpie on you in the NFL, right? That would be a prop that would not be allowed.
When I'm on the field, you think?
Yeah, in case, like, you catch a touchdown in the end zone, you see a kid with a football, pull out the Sharpie?
Yeah, I mean, I know that would be a fine, so I'd have to talk
Sharpie
with
Sharpie. Sharpie would cover it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at. I think that would be a fine, but I would love to do it if Sharpie is willing to pay that fine.
I'll chip in the first $50.
$50, okay. I think we're going to need a lot more donations for what that's about to be. But I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, man.
That was the Bears wide receiver, Roma Dunze. Now, if he does the Sharpie thing next year, I'm going to have to chip in a little bit more. It was funny, though. He's standing next to the Sharpie people, and he says, if I pull out a Sharpie and sign a ball, will I get fined? And they all put their thumbs up, like they'll cover it. I've got to tell you, that's the first time I met Roma Dunze, and what a likable young man. He was signing autographs for people. People were coming up and asking for quick interviews. He was doing a lot of stuff, and he just had this smooth star power that was really impressive. A couple of other people we saw at the media center saw Brian Urlacher walking around. Easy to recognize. Everyone says, love the hair. It's always to Urlacher, so it was a lot of fun to see him. And the other one was Devin Hester, one of the great Bears of all time, one of the more legendary NFL players of all time, because, you know, when he had his run with punt returns and kick returns, it was at, like, Deion Sanders threat level. And so when he was walking around the media center, people were just running up Devin Hester. They recognize him. He's got the jacket on. He looked good. It's really cool to see the reaction of Bears fans, national sports media fans, and see what they do. So that was interesting. And the recap of all these interviews, thanks to Mike Tirico, Albert Breer, Kyle Long, and Roma Dunze for joining the Tailgate 670 The Score, 104.3 FM. I'm Paul Pabst. All of them were talking a little bit about the stadium and about the stadium situation and how much they love the atmosphere and the weather and being by the lake and just how great this season was. And I wonder if this season has, no pun intended, a chilling effect on the direction of the stadium going forward. Now, I'm not trying to be naive. I know it's all money and all business, and Arlington Heights or Northwest Indiana, it's going to be the money that decides this. But if you saw that mood, that feeling at Soldier Field, the back half of the year especially, that's going to be really hard to replicate. Indoors at 72 degrees with a glass top. I mean, it's like having a convertible and never taking the top down. It's just kind of frustrating. All right, coming up, a lot more coming up. Three and Out, our Super Bowl preview and Super Bowl picks, all that and more. This is The Tailgate. 670 The Score, 103.4 FM.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, it ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsegian know about it?
Here come the Irish.
On 104.3, The Score, and live on the Odyssey app.
Back on the tailgate, getting you ready for the Super Bowl tomorrow evening. Patriots, Seahawks. Hopefully it's a great one. Hopefully it's a burner. Coming up, oh, look at this. Coming up at 8 a.m., Circa Sports presents the debut show of Palm Saturdays. Mike Palm, I know Mike Palm. Featuring Circa Vice President of Operations Mike Palm. You'll be able to listen from 8 to 9 a.m. on The Score and the Odyssey app, or watch live on YouTube and Twitch as Mike breaks down Sunday's big game and more from the sports betting landscape. And Pat Foley will join the show at 8:25. I know Pat as well. It's all presented by the official sports book of the Score, Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be with no bet fees. That's coming up right after us, so stick around. Don't turn anything. 104.3 FM. Got a couple things to get to. My prediction, Super Bowl parties, three and out studs. You got to get ready for that. But my first Super Bowl memory, someone asked me on Radio Row the other day, my first Super Bowl memory, and it's murky as my memory can be sometimes. I remember as a kid watching Steelers-Cowboys, and it was a very sunny day, and I think the game was out in Los Angeles at the Coliseum or something. And Lynn Swann, the great wide receiver for the Steelers, jumped in the air and caught this football that was tipped, and he caught it, and he just looked graceful. Like his name, Lynn Swann, he played like his name sounded. What a great player. All right, let's get to it. Three and out. Adam Studzinski with me. Three questions. I don't know what's coming, which makes it even better. What do you got for me, Studs?
Okay. Who is the coolest person you saw on Radio Row today? Or not today, this week.
Oh, during the week, the coolest person. I got to say Roma Dunze. We talked before and after the little interview we had, and he was really smooth, really nice, and I saw him talking to a lot of different people. That was really cool. Kyle Long was fantastic. We were chopping up places to go. We were talking cars. So a couple Bears really stood out. Other than that, you know what? I talked to Stephen A. Smith for a few minutes, and we were talking about Chicago sports, and he goes, I'd love to go back there. You know, he has the voice. We come. I love Stephen A. Smith, and he was really fun to talk to, but it's so many different people. Man, Mike Tirico is a class act. He's calling the Super Bowl tomorrow, his first ever Super Bowl. And, you know, he's not nervous. He's ready to go. So not a short answer. What's your next one?
Okay. What was, and maybe this isn't just one, but mm-hmm. if you could pick your favorite Super Bowl that you watched, maybe not the best, but your favorite one, besides the 85 Bears, obviously.
Yeah. You got to remove them instantaneously from that. Man, I might have to go back. You know that Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl a few years ago, more than a few years ago, with Nick Foles filling in for Carson Wentz, and people didn't think that would be a great game. Tom Brady was carving them up, and Nick Foles was coming right back and carving them up. That came right down to it. You had that Philly special play where Nick Foles catches the touchdown, and Brandon Graham strip sacks Brady, and the Patriots still got the ball back and got downfield in a matter of seconds and threw a jump ball to Gronkowski in the end zone, and I think that was in Minnesota. It was just a shootout. It was everything you wanted, and puts Nick Foles in that, you know, everlasting memory bank. And, you know, Sam Darnold could be there tomorrow.
So this one is out of left field entirely. Well, but I don't know if you saw last night, Yahoo Sports is reporting that North Dakota State could be making the jump to FBS in the Mountain West. Good or bad idea?
Great question by you. You know how much I love FCS 1AA football. North Dakota State, the Bison out there in Fargo, have had a chance to go there many times, go up, jump up to the big leagues, and they passed. I wish they would stay down and just do that, but I wonder if they want to get to the big leagues because of the money that's involved, and that would be the thing. But it's going to cost a lot more to compete. Good question. Love some college football. Can't wait for college football to get back going. So let's get to it. Super Bowl Sunday plan, Studs. Are you a party guy, a bar guy, or a home guy?
So I go back and forth. I can do either. This year, I'm staying at home. I'm having a couple people over. It's not really a party, more just low-key hang. I don't mind a party. I like a good party. Last several years, I've been to a party.
I like that. I like the small gathering at home, probably a bunch of people that know football. I get real queasy about going to Super Bowl parties. My wife goes, let's go to Ted's house. I'm like, oh, man, that situation at Ted's house. How many TVs? How big is the TV? What's the appetizer situation? I don't like doing that. It's like going into foreign territory. I don't know what's going on. Going to a bar, I think that might be worse. You know, it's loud. People that don't know football are standing there going, what's the replay situation? You're like, oh, no. I like home, family, a couple light friends. I'm with you on that. But it could be really, really dangerous. All right, let's get
to the Super Bowl. I did the bar thing 1 year. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I did the bar thing 1 year, a few years ago with my friends. Not as big a fan. Yeah. I like if we're gonna do it, we're gonna like be at someone's house or on my home turf. You know, it was okay, but yeah, I'd prefer being at a home.
The bar is tough too. If you don't get a good seat, if you don't get a good angle, if they don't put the sound up, and you're trying to hear what's going on with the replay, I think bar is least on my list. Home party, okay. I've watched them alone on the couch with just like light family members around. All right, let's get to the Super Bowl. My pick and the score. So this is going to be a little bit of a cop-out, but if the Patriots can take the lead, I think if they get the coin flip, they should take the ball and try to score early. I mean, it's not a revelation, but if they don't, if the Patriots can get a lead and they could get Sam Darnold where he has to throw and he can't run the ball with Kenneth Walker, that's the way I think they could pull this one off, because I don't think they're the better team. I think the Seahawks are better at special teams, offense, and defense. Now, the Patriots don't have a lot of stars on their team, but they have a very good team. Not a great team, but a good team. And that's where it's like you think in your mind, how did the Patriots get this one done? Are the Patriots that good of a team? Does Drake May have a shoulder issue that it hasn't allowed him to really cut loose the past 3 weeks? Or is that a red herring by their coach? And you don't know. And you kind of go back and forth. A lot of people on the Dan Patrio this week were going back and forth. Who do we like? Who we don't like? And they hesitate to pick against the Patriots, as if Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are still there. But it's like the aura of Patriots and Mike Vrabel being the head coach. You almost feel that they're going to figure this out. And then a lot of people think that the Seahawks could blow them out. And then they pump the brakes a little bit because this is Sam Darnold. Can he get this done? He hasn't been there before. Nowhere, not even close to being there before. So my pick as of now, because this is it, because we're going off the air in 2 minutes, I'm going Seahawks 27-20 in a controlling game. Not a blowout in any way, but they'll get it done. My MVP pick, I want to go JSN. But the safe pick is Sam Darnold, because if it's close, he's going to get the vote, the story vote. It's almost like the Heisman. The story is so good. If he has decent stats or above average stats, he will pull this one off. Thanks to everybody who joined the show today. Thanks to Mike Tirico. Thanks to Albert Breer, Will Gavin of Talk Sport, and former Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long. Special thanks to Roma Dunze for chatting with us. Great guy. Look forward to seeing him play next year. That is the tailgate. Stick around. Much more coming up with Circa Sports' debut show. A long week in San Francisco, ready to head home. Next week, we are going to do the Super Bowl wrap-up, but also a special Bears offseason preview right here on The Score, 104.3 FM. Enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday. Get focused. Get your party ready. Get your food ready. And we'll talk to you next week. I'm Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate on The Score.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.